No, I'm in Norfolk. I'm outside London.
Norfolk. So,
yeah.
My name is Sarah.
Yeah.
That makes sense.
But before you start, so I have to say I'm really, really upset that you're 5 minutes late.
Really? I'm sorry. I couldn't.
No, don't be so daft.
Oh, I don't know. I really couldn't. I couldn't figure out the whole long distance call thing. I've never called Norfolk before.
I know. It's a nightmare, isn't it?
There was a lot of numbers.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, we like things big over here.
Yeah. Okay. I'll remember that when I visit. So you've got a lot on the go right now. Your book, The Rest is Propaganda, just came out in September. And you started touring Europe for The Last Supper. So now you're getting ready for the North American tour. It starts in 2 weeks, March 10th. How do you feel about it? Are you?
Yeah, I'm really, really excited about this one because, as you know, Crass never played in America. Well,
yeah.
we played in New York in 1978 or something, but nobody knew us then. No, I'm really looking forward to this one because I think there's a lot of people in the States who, you know, are really looking forward to seeing this thing, so it should be good.
Are you doing a book tour at the same time?
Yeah, I'll be doing that, and there's some merchandise as well. But, I think there's a couple of places where before the shows that I'll be able to, there's like a bookshop where I can go and do a book signing or something like that, or a question and answer thing. It's only a little thing that's coming on.
How's the response to the book been so far?
Oh, it's been really good, really positive. Lots of messages on my Facebook and all that, you know, Steve, great book and everything. So, yeah, it's going fine so far.
Yeah, I haven't been able to find it in Montreal yet, but I guess I'll get it at the Montreal show on the 11th.
Because I'll be bringing it, yeah.
Okay, cool. How have people responded to the Last Supper shows so far? Positive? Generally positive?
Oh, yeah, absolutely positive, yeah. I mean, I know there's a few people out there who are sort of grumbling about the fact that I'm sort of doing Crass songs and all this, but no, every show that I've done so far, everybody's been really happy with it. Lots of smiling faces. Really positive response to the way we've played and everything, so it's been really good so far.
Why do you think people are so polarized about it? Some people think it's a great idea, some people think it's not. Why do you think they hate so much?
Well, I think it's because, you know, again, Crass never played in the States. You know, we stopped back in 1984, and it gives people all that time to create maybe their own idea of what Crass was or is or what it should be, and then I come along and I say I'm going to redo the Crass songs, and they're like, oh, but that's not what Crass would have done. Yeah, but this ain't Crass, it's me. I think maybe people build up too much of a myth or a legend about Crass, you know, and I come along and maybe I'm blowing that myth and legend for them, but if I am, I think that's a good thing, because if there's one thing that Crass did stand for, it was there should be no myths or legends.
I thought it was weird that so many people that were so anti-capitalist, they really support private music property, you know, like these are Crass songs and nobody else should interpret them, even though you were, you know, you helped write them. And I thought it was weird because if you think about popular music being rooted in sort of traditional music, folk and blues, all the songs were shared, cover songs were norm, and people were a lot more creative. And it seems like there's nothing more crippling to creativity than the limitations we put on sharing music and other kinds of art forms. Do you think anybody really owns Crass's songs? Like, they have a right to them? Or it's more like the people, you know, have a right to play music, to hear music and share music?
Yeah, I think, you know, I mean, it's very strange because even though I wrote, you know, Crass wrote those songs, you know, in a funny way it now feels almost like those songs belong to the people, you know.
Like, you know, the ultimate Crass message.
All I would say to those people is that, you know, look, if you don't want to come to the show, don't come. It's as simple as that. You know, I'm not standing there with a shotgun behind your head saying, come into my gig, you know.
Maybe you should try that.
This is how Crass was, you know. All I'm doing is performing some Crass songs, you know, because a lot of people seem to want to see them, you know, done live for the last time.
Yeah.
I think you're quite right. It's just people putting limitations on things, you know. I mean, it's very strange because I don't know of any other career that a person can have where everybody else can tell you how to do it better or how you should do it. And it's usually by people a lot younger than you. So yeah. That's a strange thing as well. You know, I've had people come up to me at some of these shows and tell me, you know, they weren't even born when Crass was alive, Crass were going, and they're telling me what Crass was about.
Yeah, people are total jerks. I don't know. I was reading a lot of message boards beforehand and getting sort of like the idea of what people thought of things. And I just don't understand why they have any right to sort of talk about it. But how have your politics changed over time? Like, people have really been inspired by Crass and the DIY scene. How have your politics actually been inspired by that?
Well, there goes another problem. You know, I mean, the thing is that it's, you know, it's always been called the DIY scene. You know, well, here it wasn't. It was DIY because there was no other way you could do it.
Yeah.
There was no choice. What, of course, has happened over the years is that, you know, Crass came out with these statements, and then people got inspired by it, and then, of course, the next wave of, you know, that sort of Crass band come along, and they're even more hardline than Crass were. And then by the time you get the fourth wave, they're almost fascistic about it.
Yeah.
And it's, you know, if it's not DIY, it's not, you know, it's not worth shit, man, and all that kind of thing, you know. And if you sleep in a bed, you're not DIY, or because, you know, you're a sellout and all this kind of stuff. It's a load of old garbage, you know. Politically, I still feel the same as I did, you know, when I wrote those songs. You know, I know that there's more things to buy. There's more vegetarian cafes and things, and, you know, you can buy more things in the shops now, but it's still the same old world as it was then, so I still feel the same.
How is Crass's anti-capitalist political ideology different from 60s hippies? Is political punks just hippies?
Well, I don't really know, because I was only a small child in the 60s, you know.
Fair enough.
70s was my era, you know, but at that time, as I say, it was the whole punk scene in England was that if you wanted to put on a gig, you put on a gig. Sometimes it was really difficult, you know. There wasn't a lot of money in it. It was a really hard struggle. But it wasn't, you know, that's why I'm trying to say that we didn't call it a scene. It's just the way we had to do it. It wasn't until Crass had finished, and I was in a band called Schwarzenegger, and we found ourselves on the DIY scene. And I suddenly, you know, and I felt personally, I mean, there were some places like Italy where they've really got the DIY thing down to a, you know, down to a T. They do it really well. They're incredibly organized and everything, you know, and it's a wonderful thing to be involved in. But a lot of that DIY scene hasn't moved on since 1977.
You think it's kind of
stagnant? You're still
stagnant.
Expected as a band, you know, to drive hundreds of miles to get to a really horrible building, which is the worst place to hold a gig, where there's probably no electricity and where only half the PA system is working. So all the people that come to see your show are only hearing half the music. And I always argue that then the audience should get half the money back. Because only getting half of it. I mean, I've really, you know, I don't care what scene it is, you know, but just don't try and force it down my throat, which is what I think a lot of these people try to do, you know.
Yeah, I know the feeling. Definitely.
Mm.
It's kind of like that in Montreal, actually. My first exposure to anarcho-punk was through the radical punk squats, anti-capitalist politics, and sort of crust-punk fashion in Montreal. What do you see when you look at punks like that today? You just think they're total maniacs, like obsessively reliving the 77 kind of punk era, or?
No, I always give them a fear that, you know, you've got to start somewhere, and we all go for that thing of, you know, finding out, you know, let's see what they do a few years down the line when they're a bit older, you know, just wait and see.
Do you think any of the ideologies have been sort of corrupted, though, like taken to violent extremes?
Yeah, I do, because I think the ideology, you know, they've been taken to extremes.
Yeah.
And the ideologies that we had in the 70s and the early 80s, well, I'm not sure that they can still be the same in the year 2000. You know, the world moves on and we have to move with it, whether we like it or not.
Yeah.
And to try and stick in one era and then complain because people won't agree with you, and you know, and they're moving on. I think that's totally unfair, you know. So I think really the corruption has come from the inside.
Yeah, I understand that. So I have some questions. Actually, I belong to the St. Henry Lister, which is a group of sort of like-minded radical queer punks. I sent out a question. I said, I'm going to interview Steve Ignorant tomorrow if anybody wants to ask him anything. And a couple people had some questions.
Go on in.
Yeah, okay. So the first question comes from Jenna Pants of Verdun. She says, can you ask him why he is playing Crass songs when the rest of Crass does not want this to happen? This was Jenna's question, and I think a lot of people, for whatever reason, have this on their minds.
Right. Well, it's not that the rest of Crass are against it. It's just that, you know, I'm the only one who used to be in Crass who wants to do it.
Yeah.
I've got the support of Penny, G, and Eve. I've had no complaints from the others. And the reason that I've not invited anyone else from Crass to perform alongside me is firstly they wouldn't want to do it, and secondly because the minute you have more than one ex-Crass member in the show, people assume that Crass have reformed.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't want that to happen. This is me doing it on my own, obviously with a great band behind me. And that's it, really.
Are you taking a lot of liberties with the songs, or do you want to sort of revisit them the way that you initially imagined them?
Oh, yeah, we're treating them with the respect they deserve, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, we're playing them as closely as possible, but, you know, I have to stress that we're not trying to be like the bootleg Beatles or something.
Okay.
You know, we're not dressing like Crass and all this kind of thing, or acting like Crass. It's just their interpretations, you know. The reason I'm doing this is because I know there's a lot of people out there who really want to hear these songs live for one last time, and I don't see why I shouldn't do it, so that would be my answer.
I think that there's definitely a lot of people out there who want to revisit or visit for the first time the Crass discography, and I don't know, I'm really excited about the show. The second question comes from Ashen Ruins. This is a long question. Okay, I'm going to try and get through it. If it is taken as a given that modern capitalism controls a large amount of the population by using psychoanalysis and graphic design to attach commodities to unconscious urges and uses that process to sell us commodities, oh my God.
Fucking what is this guy talking about?
Yeah, this is a really long question. Essentially, they want to know how anarchists can combat a social relationship mediated by image and commodities. So, like,
I don't know.
Yeah, how does the media affect us?
Yeah, that's not really a question. That's more like a sort of lecture.
Yeah, it kind of is.
I mean, if I was face to face with the bloke, I'd gladly talk to him about it. But that's just ridiculous. I'm sorry, I'm not being rude, but
no,
you know,
I don't mind.
Yeah.
The next question.
God Almighty.
Next question. Yeah. What was the last best book that you read? Most recent book that you've really enjoyed reading?
That would be a thing called The Orton Diaries.
The Autumn Diaries?
No, O-R-T-O-N, as in Joe Orton. He was an English playwright in the 1960s. He was homosexual, and his lover killed him with a hammer. And the diaries are just about his life and everything, and I just found it really interesting. Because what happened was that Joe Orton's lover, who's called Kenneth Halliwell, actually met Joe Orton when Joe Orton was really, really young. He was about 17 or something, and they lived together. Kenneth Halliwell taught Joe Orton basically how to read and write, and then Joe Orton became very famous in England for writing plays. And Kenneth Halliwell then faded into the limelight. And basically, in the end, I think Kenneth Halliwell sort of became like a jealous lover almost because of the fame surrounding Joe. And one night he just killed him with a hammer and then committed suicide himself by taking, I think it was Nembutal.
Yeah,
really interesting read. Mm.
How about the last best record or music that you've listened to?
What, new record? Well, I haven't bought anything new for a long time.
That's okay.
But I think the best thing I listened to recently,
Just an old favorite, even. Joni Mitchell?
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, I played her the other night, yeah. Yeah.
She's Canadian.
Yeah, well, there you go.
Yeah.
She did this great album called, I think it's called Hegira.
Okay.
And the lyrics in it are really, really good. And I hadn't played it for years. And I played it the other night, and I was like, oh, I'm going to listen to this again. So that's the last great thing I listened to.
That's great. And last question, what is your favorite Crass song to sing? When you're up there, what song do you look forward to the most?
Oh, I think there's about three.
Okay.
Actually. Well, there's definitely Others to Live In. Big A, Little A.
Mm.
And So What.
Well, thanks very, very much for your time, and I'm really excited for your show in Montreal on March 11th. Pick up.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Well, look, I'm usually standing by the bar or by the merchandise store, so do come and introduce yourself, yeah?
Yeah, for sure. Thanks a lot.
Nice one.
Okay.
Okay, well, look, thanks for the time, yeah?
Yeah, you too.
Yeah, I'm sorry I couldn't answer that long question from that bloke.
Yeah, I'm sorry I attempted to ask it.
No, that's all right. Because when you was talking, I was like, my God, what? I didn't even understand some of the words he was talking about. I mean...
Yeah, it's damn long. Damn long question.
Weird, isn't it? Weird.
Yeah.
Funny people.
It's kind of
anyway,
excessive.
Look, I'll see you in a few days then. It's not that far away, is it? See you in a couple of weeks.
Yep, for sure. Thanks so much.
All right, catch you later, mate.
Bye.
Bye.